Last week, we started our journey through Lent and began thinking about our personal journey with God. And we noted that sometimes in life, there are these twists and turns that we don't expect, but that in those situations, God so often speaks to us. And it's in those sometimes unwanted situations that he teaches us. It's not all about the final destination, in other words. That can be our motivation. It can be our inspiration, our encouragement in difficult times. But it's actually through those events of everyday life through which God shapes us. So I want to think a little bit more about that as we continue the theme of pilgrimage and walking with God this morning. Pilgrimage is one of the most important and challenging of themes that we find in Scripture. And again, those principles are revealed when we see the journeys that the people of God make. So, for example, I'll give you some examples from the Old Testament. Abram, being chosen by God, who said to him, "Go from here to a place that I will show you." At the time, he didn't even have the destination, didn't know where he was headed. What God wanted was for him to get up and start moving. And so he did. The nation of Israel, we saw last week, the nation of Israel taken out of captivity and moving. And we saw that their formative years, the years in which they as a nation came to understand their identity, they learned their laws, they learned about worship and relationship with God and how to trust him, all formed during their wilderness years, their pilgrimage through the desert. The prophets, many of the prophets were asked to go to foreign lands or to do strange things. Richard mentioned a couple of examples when he talked a couple of weeks ago about Hosea. And he mentioned Ezekiel, asked to do strange things out of the comfort zone. Living life with these twists and turns they weren't expecting, in which God shaped them and spoke to the people around them. But it wasn't only in the Old Testament. Look to the New Testament, and we find that Jesus, looking forward, looking to the newly established church, to you, said to those people, to his followers, "Go into the world and make disciples." Not to set up camp, but to go into the world. And one of the reasons that Christianity spread so rapidly during Roman times was because of that Roman persecution. Christians got mobile. They spread around the world. They faced challenges, and the faith spread in the process. Look at the Apostle Paul. His entire ministry was characterized by travel. We've got four missionary journeys in Acts Gospels, in Acts, the book of Acts, in which we see God speaking to him, changing him, transforming him, speaking to the people around him, leading him through these different journeys. And then we have Peter. Peter speaking as another apostle to the persecuted Christians and calling them to live as exiles, as foreigners in this world. Don't embed yourselves and just become part of the world, but encourage them to live as foreigners and exiles, the NLT puts it, to live as temporary residents and foreigners. Here's the point. The Christian life was not intended to be a comfortable settling down, but an ongoing pilgrimage with God. It's really interesting that it was a rabbi, Abraham Joshua Heschel, who wrote, "Faith is not the clinging to a shrine, but an endless pilgrimage of the heart." Let me read that again. "Faith is not the clinging to a shrine, but an endless pilgrimage of the heart." It's not creating the things around you that become comfortable, that we're content with, that are quite straightforward, but it is an ongoing inner challenge with God, inviting him to speak to that journey we make with our heart through this life. I wonder if over the centuries, Christians have lost sight of that daily inner pilgrimage that he invites us into, where life is constantly changing, is uncertain, is unfamiliar, where you wake up in the morning and say, "What on earth is this?" And need to say, "Lord, how am I going to deal with this situation?" The kind of life that means having to rely on God and trust God. That is faith, not just the endless repetition of patterns. Repetition, 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 repetition. Do you realize that's what the Quran means? It's about repetition of words. That's not what God in Scripture points out to us. One of the things I think Christians have done is we have created things around us, almost living life like a formula, putting patterns in place. We were given a pattern from God of certain things, having a Sabbath day, a day of rest, but we even turned that into a pattern of doing stuff, a pattern of going through certain routines if we're not careful. Things that become familiar, things that become comfortable, easy, and undemanding. The idea of a pilgrimage of the heart is to set out on a daily basis into territory where God is invited to lead us, prompt us, speak to us, translate for us, explain for us. To use the language of the rabbi, faith is sometimes no longer a pilgrimage of the heart, but we have replaced it with a weekly visit to the shrine. Isn't that what God said to his people in the Old Testament? He didn't want. He gave them sacrifices. He gave them a temple to come to. But what did God say to them? "I detest your sacrifices. Go away from me. Stop turning up and box ticking. I'm not interested in you going through the motions. I want to know your heart." And Jesus came and invited us to take a daily walk of the heart that involved trust. One of the questions we might want to ask as we go through Lent is, have we built our faith around things that are static? Locations, routines, the familiar, instead of a daily journey, which could be anywhere, everywhere, things that are unfamiliar and at times really uncomfortable, but through which we have a reliance on God. That is faith. In Jesus' entire ministry, he was constantly on the move, only ever a temporary resident. And when one of his disciples glibly said, "Lord, we'll follow you anywhere," he turned around and he challenged them. And he said, asking them how serious they were about that. Well, you know the words, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." And so we come to Psalm 84 that was read to us. And we come to one of the great dilemmas, the contrasts, and in it, the restlessness that is intended in the Christian faith that comes with a life of pilgrimage. There is a deep natural longing to be in a place where God is, to be in that place with him in his temple courts. That's the picture that is painted by the psalmist. It's not a place where he is, it's the place where he longs to be with the Lord. He says his heart and his flesh are crying out for the living God. But then in verse 5, he explains where he finds the living God. And it's not in a set location or with a set routine, but it is within. And he celebrates the blessing that comes to all who find the living God because they have set their hearts on pilgrimage, on simply recognizing God with them in the journey, inside whatever they face, wherever they may find themselves. As the NIV puts it, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. It is the journey with God we set our hearts on. As the ESV puts it, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. In other words, the journey, the place up to Jerusalem where they could imagine things being, the highway to Zion is now in our hearts. As the Message puts it, whose lives become roads that you, God, travel. It is our entire life that God travels with us. That's the discovery. That's the longing that is spoken of by the psalmist, the privilege and the pilgrimage of a journey of the heart. It's the longing for God's presence that is satisfied, not through going somewhere, but inviting to God to come within. Our whole lives become the journey. And what does that look like? It looks like every conversation that takes place, every event that comes in life, every hurt, every loss, every relationship, everything we see and hear and smell becomes part of this ongoing journey and conversation with God. That's the idea of this pilgrimage. We have a discovery with God in all of those things, not just the places we feel comfortable. So our very heart becomes the highway through which God travels with us everywhere we go. Isn't that what the Apostle Paul was getting to when speaking to the church, the Philippians? He said in 1 Philippians 21, "For me to live is Christ, but to die is gain." He recognized a longing for something better, but for him, the day was all about living for Christ, living with everything for Christ, with Christ, doing things alongside Christ. That was his purpose. That was his calling. That was his bread and butter. That was his daily experience. But for me to die is gain. What would be even better is to be with my Lord permanently, that one day would come in glory. And for Paul, his pilgrimage was a constant journey, daily discovery, excitement, unexpected events, strange places, sometimes very hostile, unpleasant places, but faith being worked out along the way with God daily. That's the pilgrimage that is faith. And it's a bit of a paradox that is spoken of, therefore, by Paul and echoed in this psalm. It's this idea that we walk by faith to know God's presence here and now and the meaningfulness of all of that, but at the same time, constantly being homesick for something that one day you know is going to be even better because it will be with God in glory. Have you ever felt homesick? Knowing the blessing of where you are, perhaps really enjoying things, seeing amazing things, but missing home. I've lived in and worked in a lot of different countries, worked in a number of places in Southeast Asia, Thailand, China, so on, in a number of countries across Africa. I've seen incredible things, beautiful landscapes, incredible animals from the huge to the tiny. I have seen the spectacular that God has revealed to me, seeing his presence along the way. Had wonderful encounters with people, seen amazing people, seen cultures that are completely different. I love being with interesting people where everything from the clothes they wear to the food they have, the smell of the places that I've traveled to, be incredible. It's a wonderful privilege and known God along the way. But there's nowhere quite like home. There's nowhere like my bed in my home where I can do what I want to do and it's comfortable, wonderful. I would suggest in all of that travel, I had discovered that God's presence with me, sometimes in some challenging situations, has been a wonderful experience and an incredible joy. But I've known that there's nothing quite like home. And one day that will be the ultimate place with God in glory. Do you feel that? Do you know that? Do you know that paradox of the Christian faith? Well, I want to share with you two things that have come to me briefly, two simple lessons that I have learned that come out of this passage as well, about the journey, the pilgrimage, about discovering God in some of the uncomfortable places, but knowing something more. The first lesson about pilgrimage is that through pilgrimage comes strength. In verse 5, that verse that speaks about the pilgrimage of the heart being the thing that he set himself on, we also read in the earlier part of it, blessed are those whose strength is in you. It is when we are with God, when we are on the journey with him, that strength comes. Have you ever been on something like a walking holiday, or maybe a cycling holiday, whatever it is that is completely different from the norm of your more sedentary working or normal life? Have you noticed that when you get back from the holiday, you are a lot fitter than you were when you first went on it? The first few days are tough. Your legs are aching, it's hard work, but when you get back, you realize you are stronger. Many of you will know that for me, one of the privileges that we try to take up in the summer is going somewhere where we can get out and really lose ourselves in the country. where we can walk distances. For me, part of the pilgrimage is a pilgrimage on an entomological basis, finding insects of every kind and going to the places where they are. And my long-suffering wife loves the environment, the world around us, and fortunately loves both my company and getting out there and walking. Lorinda would tend to walk on a straight path from A to B. Insects don't do that. Butterflies, dragonflies, they go where they want to. So I inevitably don't just walk along the path. I'm up and down and round and on my knees and bending over trying to get that perfect photograph. And then I'm off and it flies and it goes somewhere and I'm after it. But the consequence of all of that, whenever we've got had the chance to spend time out physically walking, is that when we get back, I am at the fittest I ever get to in the year. So it is with a pilgrimage with God. When we get to those places, we might find initially that the legs and knees ache, but when you get back, it's gone. So with God. As we start to journey, as we start to engage those spiritual muscles with God, as we invite him to see everything in life as something that he's involved in and wants to lead us through and wants to explain to us, so our spiritual strength grows, particularly including those difficult times. It's the climbs up the mountain that are tough. It's when you're down in the valley, crossing the boulders, that it's hard work, but that's where the strength comes. So with our journey with God, through pilgrimage comes strength. But attached to that, the second lesson, any place of struggle, be it a place of sacrifice, a place of pain, is an invitation to know the presence of God. When I've been working in Africa in particular, but also at lots of other occasions in the UK, it has been those times of difficult choices, of sacrifice, where I've wrestled, taken it to God, that I have experienced the most powerful experiences of my life with God. Like the time when I was involved with a church, it was a very different church from anything I'd been used to in the past in Africa, where things were strange and things were happening and I was experiencing God in new ways, and I was wrestling how comfortable I was with this, and recall going to God and saying, where are you, Lord, in this? Is this a good thing? Is this not good? Do I need to avoid? Do I need to engage? I was really wrestling with being very uncomfortable and had an experience of God's peace as he explained how he would walk with me through all of it. Experiences of other times in life when marriage was tough, when the road was difficult and choices and trust had to be offered, and I found God in ways I had never experienced before, a measure of peace that did not make any sense. The joy of the Lord in what seemed like an impossible situation. Or the time in life when I was trying to decide, where do I take all of my education, all that I'd learned? And I was offered a job with the civil service, scientific civil service, made for life. Good pay. I'd have now been in a more senior position, very comfortable, I am sure. But I knew something wasn't right, and I was wrestling with it. And I'd been told the job that I had applied for specifically, which was about mathematical modeling of scientific pollution. And I knew all about the modeling. And they employed someone specifically who had 2 maths degrees. I couldn't compete with that. But they said, we like you and we're going to offer you something else. We're going to find the money for another modeling job where you get to use the science. Brilliant. Fantastic. Except inside, I was at one of those places of wrestling and knew that's not what I wanted to do. I didn't want to just monitor problems. I wanted to help people who had problems and were facing problems. I wanted to get into development work, international development. But that was impossible. How could that work out? No doors were going to open there, were they? There was no trust, confidence of any financial remuneration. How was I going to do that? And I wrestled and I took it to God. And I eventually had this ridiculous experience of peace, knowing I was right. I had to just step out into the uncomfortable territory, the journey that God was leading me on to help people, not to be comfortable doing the science I was good at. And I went, I remember one morning talking to my parents and saying, you know, if they turn around to me tomorrow and said, it's all sorted, the finance is all in place, we want you to come and start working with us straight away, I would turn it around and say, no. And they were very supportive. And the next day I got a letter from the organization, and sure enough, the finance had come through. It was all there. And I turned around to them and said, no, God had met me in a very special way. And I could give you example after example. Coming into ministry, same thing. God meets us and we are invited to discover, even in those places of pain and hurt, the joy of the presence of God. And that comes out in this psalm, in the final verse that I read to you in verse 6. Do you know, it's easy to forget that God brings the joy of his presence even in the pain of the daily journey. The psalmist reminds us that the journey of pilgrimage often passes through the valley of Baca. There is no known valley associated with Baca. It seems to be perhaps a symbolic place of suffering. Baca means, or can mean, weeping. But here's the point that the psalmist makes. In that place, when we're on a pilgrimage, something happens between us and God. A partnership takes place. And the pilgrim makes it a place of springs of refreshment. And the autumn rains also covers it. And you might think, what on earth does that mean? In my Bible, I'd scribbled a note referring to something that Spurgeon once wrote about it. And I'll just share, this is paraphrasing what he said. Couple of things happen in this place of hurt when you're a pilgrim. Not only is it a place where the pilgrim makes a spring because of the economy of God's kingdom, God never wastes things. He uses and bountiful spreads good things. So we build the spring, but people who follow after us, who walk in our footsteps, are blessed as a result. That's what testimony does. We share testimonies of hard things and other people are picked up in the process. The whole of the Christian life is an opportunity for that. As we overcome, we build the spring, but more than that, the autumn rains come and also cover it with pools. God does his bit. Spurgeon put it like this. He said, we dig a well and heaven fills it up. That's the partnership of the privilege of walking in pilgrimage with God. What does God have for you in this season of your life? Where does God want to take you as you step through whatever you're going through at the moment? What blessings are there for you? And you may find, you may say to me, well, I'm struggling at the moment. This is an easy phase of my life. Jesus says in Matthew 11, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. He doesn't say he'll give you stuff that makes you comfortable. He says, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. That's this burden of being on the pilgrimage with God, like the oxen in a partnership. And learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He asks us to take the burden, but when we step into it, he takes the greater burden. So in Lent, I want to invite you to ask a question. And it's a difficult question. But if we're serious about being on a pilgrimage, here you go. Ask yourself, in what ways am I too settled in this life? Perhaps having no need to trust God. I'm not saying rip it all up. Just be aware. In what ways am I too settled? What are the comforts and the false attachments that keep me from taking risks? Then ask you the secondary question. Are these comforts robbing me from the joy of knowing God's presence? Because you're not having to rely on him and inviting him to be part of it. Let's pray.